Good morning. Welcome to all who are here to worship with us this morning. I've got good news. I've got the schedule set for our new classes that are going to get started this fall, just in a couple of weeks. I wanted to get past. We had Gloria Smothers here the other night, Wednesday night. That was wonderful. I wanted to make sure we got through that. And then next week is the table. So kind of been waiting for those two things to happen, and then we'll jump back into our classes. So the first Sunday night Bible study will be September 21st. So if you want to mark that, if you haven't come out before and you'd like to come, please we welcome new people to these classes at any time. So September 21st at 6 o'clock is when we'll have the first Bible study Sunday night. And then we have our classes on Wednesdays, the coffee shop theology. We should just call it Mornings with Max, because they love Max Licato so much. Well, we're going to be using another Max Licato book called Unshakable Hope. I've got them ordered. They should be arriving this week, so I'll try to make sure that they get to you Sunday so that you have a little time to read them. I'm going to use them for the two morning classes. I'm also going to use it, sort of, for the Wednesday night class. We won't necessarily go with the story read from the book directly like the morning class does, but we'll use the thoughts that he has there. And then even with the Bible study, use the Bible verses that he uses for the basis for his story. It's just going to help me study and prepare. I only have to prepare one set of verses in three different ways rather than three different sets of verses and three different stories and so forth. So we'll see how that goes. And I know there will be challenges when certain weeks one class is happening and another class isn't. But maybe by that time I'll have a routine down and I'll be okay with how we keep moving on. So September 21st, Bible study. September 24th, all the coffee shop classes get started. So we're looking forward to that. I'm excited that we finally got that arranged and we're ready to go. I also wanted to remind you about the apple dumpling sale for the missionary support team. You got those forms. If you get them back by the 28th, get them to Carol or Donna Rogers. That's a fundraiser for the missionary support team. Also, I wanted to ask, how many of you like to visit people? Some of you are grouches No, if you've got your hand up, then make sure that Joanne gets to see your hand. No, I'm not volunteering you. But hey, that's all we do with the visitation team. You just get to go out and visit some people and have a good time talking with them and catching up with them and sharing your stories. They like to hear about you just as much as you like to hear about them. So if you raised your hand, you're perfectly qualified to be on the visitation team. And I know it sounds like they'd like to have a few more people to help out with that. So there's a meeting, you see in the bulletin, there's a meeting on September 29th. It's a Monday, 2:30 in the afternoon. If you can't make the meeting, that's okay. If you still are interested in being a part of the visitation team, just see Joanne, and we'd love to have some more people that get out and meet with our shut-ins. Also, I want to make a challenge to you. I don't know if you realize it. I've been hearing on the radio about next week being National Back to Church Sunday. I hear lots of statistics, and I don't know exactly what they are, but something like 80% of people would go to church if someone asked them. They're just waiting for an invitation. But unfortunately, the number is much lower. The percentage is much lower as far as how many actually get invited. So let's change that. I'm challenging you. Everybody invite somebody. Now, don't steal them from another church. If they're going to church, fine, let them go. But if you know somebody that hasn't been to church for a while, you know somebody from around here that used to go to this church. We just saw something we still have the Palmyra news feed on Facebook, and somebody posted a picture of our church and didn't put anything with it, just posted the picture. And all of a sudden, there were some responses. Yeah, I grew up in that church. I went to VBS at that church. And so Vicky got online and said, hey, we're having Back to Church Sunday next week. We invite you to come on in. So again, I'm challenging you. Let's bring some people in next week, some friends. They're just waiting for you to invite them. Let's see how that 80% rule works out for us. So, Any other announcements, any other special dates we need to be aware of before we get started? You guys have any special dates that you know of? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, she does. Oh, did you get...
I'm going to give a secret away.
Okay.
Janae's coming back next Sunday to sing with us.
Our daughter Janae, yes. So, but you ruined my surprise. Next week I was going to say, look who I brought back to church. So now I got to find somebody else. No, that's okay. Yeah, we're looking forward to having her join with the praise band next week as well. So, anything else? Any other appointments, meetings, dates? All right. Well, then let's just pause for a second and let's prepare our hearts for worship and let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be active among us here this morning. Let's pray. Glorious Heavenly Father, help us to remember how awesome you are as the Creator and as the King, and how loving you are as our Father and our Provider. We come together this morning to sing praises to you and to sit at your feet, hear your word. And Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for giving us another day, but thank you for giving us this day as an opportunity to meet with our brothers and our sisters, and that we can just lift up your name in praise. Father, I pray that everything that we do here would be to your honor and to your glory, and we ask that you would make your Holy Spirit very active among us this morning. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask you to stand if you're able as I read our call to worship. I'm reading from Psalm 115, where we read about why we get together, first of all, the first verse. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. It's not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
And the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. Yeah, I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love. Sing of your love forever. Oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing again. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love. Sing of your love forever. I can 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 sing of your love forever.
My shelter, tower of friends.
take a moment to greet all your neighbors.
You helped at the end, though. I appreciate it.
You said you were going to keep going. All right, this is when we take the time to acknowledge praises, prayer requests. I'm going to switch things and ask for prayer requests first. Of course, I have down on the list, obviously, the family of Charlie Kirk. I know that's on everybody's minds. National, well-known figure. And we want to pray for that family. Also, baby Grace got an update. She's still in, is it ICU? Still an emergency kind of situation. Still hooked up to things, but some things have been taken off. The phrase was she's a little fighter, but she's been in there for 3 months. So we want to continue to pray for baby Grace. What other prayer requests do you have for this morning? And I'll say too, okay, here we have one here. You can be thinking about your praises, because I wanted to end with the praises.
My son, Stephen, he is in pain 24 hours a day, had an MRI done. He will have to have emergency surgery. So they did find a small tumor on the bone. However, I'm told it's a benign tumor, which thank God for that. Okay. So he will be having surgery and asking for prayer for my son.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other prayer requests? Any praises? We'll mix them in here. Matthew Rosato is a good baby and he sleeps. Okay. Yes. Praise the Lord for that. Oh, we have back here in the oh. Either way. Go ahead.
Wednesday night. When Gloria Smothers was there, I think we all had a good fellowship time.
Yes, yes, that time with Gloria was good. It was informative. We had a good time of fellowship with a meal then afterwards, and well attended, and it was wonderful too because it wasn't just First EC people. We had some people from St. John's down here. We had some people from. Cindy, she's not a member of our church, but that's okay. And, you know, I mean, she was there kind of representing another church as well, but also representing, we've adopted her. And then who else? We had someone from Interfaith Manor. So we had quite a few different places represented. So it was great. Gloria got to speak to more than just us and more than just our missionary support team. So, yeah, what do you have, Dawn?
I just have a praise. Yesterday, I was able to go to the Uprise Music Festival with my son Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just thankful I can still do that at my age. And it's just wonderful to be among thousands of Christians like that. And I also just want to be thankful for Christian music of all types. Yeah. I mean, contemporary, they have hip-hop, they have rock, yeah. We have hymns, we have, gospel, classical. As long as it's leading to Jesus, I'm for it.
Amen.
So, thank you.
Yeah, they have like, three different tents or three different stages, depending on different genres of music and so forth. I missed that. I didn't realize that was yesterday.
Yeah, Friday night, football game. Aaron plays in the band.
Okay.
He's the drum kit. So it was pretty nice to watch him play and see him play.
Cool. Yeah. And you have a little, like a mockingbird or something that was sitting beside you there, right? Any other praises? Prayer requests? Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for just being able to enjoy life, being able to enjoy accomplishments, attending things with family. Then when those things happen to be concerts where people are just praising your name in mass, that's just wonderful, an opportunity for all of us, and it's so uplifting for those who get to go. We thank you for giving people the strength, the ability, the talent to be able to play instruments, whether it's praise band, whether it's a middle school band, a high school band, or even we have some in college now in band. And just thank you for all those wonderful talents, all those wonderful abilities. We thank you for milestones. We've got some birthdays listed and the ability to enjoy those milestones with family. We just thank you for all the ways you allow us, you provide for us to enjoy our lives. Especially when it comes in the midst of tragedy, tragic news, things that make us just kind of stop and really pay attention to what the world's like around us. We know that we live in a broken world, and for that reason, there are things that we just can't explain. As we've talked about a few weeks ago, we lift up baby Grace, for instance, and know that we can't explain why she has to still be in the hospital, spending three months there, hooked up to tubes and all sorts of equipment. But we thank you that you've given her a spirit of strength, a fighter's spirit, that she's working through this, that you're getting her through this. And we pray that you would heal whatever's keeping her in there, that you would just touch her and give her a miracle, miraculous healing, that she could be just carried out of there in her mom's arms with so much joy in their hearts. We pray for Stephen and this tumor. We thank you that it's not that it's benign, and that there is something arranged, that he's going to have this emergency surgery. We just pray that you will watch over him, that you will make that operation go very successfully, that any kind of rehab would go quickly, and that pain would be removed. Similar request for Vicky and her shoulder, and we're not quite that far along yet. We know she's got the pain, and there's an expectation that there's going to be surgery. But I pray that you would just touch her arm and take it away so we don't even have to go through that. But your will be done. And if it needs to go to a doctor, I pray that you've got the surgeons ready to go. And of course, Father, we all know about what happened with one of your servants, Charlie Kirk, this week. We pray for his family. We pray that that his wife, being so close to you, will know where he's walking right now. We pray for those two little girls as they grow up, that they will not use this as a way to walk again away from you, but it will bring them closer to you and closer to their mom. And Lord, we can't explain, we can't understand why these things happen, because we're not you. You know everything. And so we just trust you. And that's all we can do. We just got to stop trying to explain everything and just convince ourselves, remind ourselves that we're not God and you are. So Father, we thank you for what you do for us. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for the way you provide us with an income. And we've given a portion back as a way of saying thank you and a way of worshiping you. And so we ask you to accept it and to bless and to use it to further your kingdom and your church. Now, Father, as I prepare to let you use me to speak your words, I ask that our hearts would be open, our ears would be open, our minds would be open to hearing, understanding, and feeling your message. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Children are dismissed for children's church, and I got to figure out what that, when I moved, I cut out for some reason, but I can't make it happen, so we'll just go with it, see what happens. So we continue our series, on the crazy stories from the Bible. I was thinking about changing our series. Instead of calling it Crazy Stories from the Bible, after we heard that quote last week that one of the kids said, God's not normal. I felt like that should be the new series title, God's Not Normal. But we're going with the Crazy Stories from the Bible. So as I prepared for this one, I thought back on my Dale Carnegie training, back in my previous occupation, my previous life, if you will. Went to some business training, took that Dale Carnegie course. I think I told you about how they teach you to be enthusiastic, get other people enthusiastic. But one of the other classes that I had was helping us to get past any kind of worry, any kind of anxiety we have about something that's coming up. You're nervous about a meeting coming up or whatever. And you just sort of concentrate on what's going to happen after that. And so I use that sometimes for, like if you're going to the dentist, nobody looks forward to going to the dentist, right? But you can convince yourself that there's something that's going to happen tomorrow. You know, like if I got a dentist appointment this afternoon, I can think about what I'm going to do tonight. That dentist appointment is not going to last forever. It's going to end, and there'll be something else. It might be kind of painful to go through it, but there's going to be an end to it, and there's going to be something else you get to enjoy. We know, though, that some situations seem to kind of make us pause. That there are some times when it feels like time kind of stands still. This week, we had two opportunities. We saw two situations that made that happen for us. On Wednesday, as we mentioned, any time, wherever you were, got the news. I didn't even know about it till Wednesday evening while we were sitting around with Gloria, and somebody mentioned, "Did you hear the news about Charlie Kirk?" And I hadn't up to that point, but many of you probably did. And it made you pause. It made you stop. Time sort of stopped for a second, and you had to think about and try to process what was going on. And then on Thursday, of course, then we were reminded of the event that we call 9/11. And we paused again as we thought about what happened. And if you thought back on the actual occurrence, then you could remember that day when it felt like the world just stopped, or at least here in this country for sure, things just stopped. My previous employment, I was out in Chicago installing some software out there for a business, and we got in that morning and people are huddling around cubicles and what's going on, and we hear the news, and nobody was thinking about working at that point. And I'm sure everybody remembers where you were that morning, and it just felt like time stood still for a while. It got very quiet. There was very little traffic out on the highways all of a sudden, and of course then there was no air traffic, and we were in Chicago. There's planes all the time, but of course they stopped all that, and then I had to find a way to get back home. And fortunately, there was somebody with a rental car who was heading back to Pittsburgh, and I was able to ride with him, and Vicky drove out to Pittsburgh to meet me, and I was never so glad to hold her, I tell you what. But we all can remember where that was, and things just stopped for us for a while. Well, today, we've got a story about a day that sort of stopped as well, a day that lasted much longer than usual, and I'm calling it the longest day in history. Just to give you a little bit of context, this is a story where Joshua is leading the Israelites. They're marching in through the promised land, conquering cities as they go. And I thought about not talking about that after what happened on Wednesday, but he's going through and they're wiping out the Amorites. Part of what he was supposed to be doing was to be conquering these cities and wiping out the people that were in these cities. In Deuteronomy, we see that the Lord had commanded, "In the cities of the nations the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, do not leave alive anything that breathes. Completely destroy them. The Hittites, the Amorites," and those are the ones that we're going to be talking about, "the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." And I wish he would have included the termites, but they didn't get destroyed. It says, "as the Lord your God has commanded you." So they were commanded. And then that causes problems for us. What do you mean? Why would God want to wipe out all these people? And part of the reason that was given is because they will teach you to follow all the detestable things they do in worshiping their gods, and you will sin against the Lord your God. He knows that they were going to lead them astray. But we like to think about how God's supposed to have patience, right? He tells us, or Peter told us anyway, that the Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to perish and wanting everyone to come to repentance. He was patient. He was patient. The over 400 years that the Israelites were in Egypt, he was revealing himself to them, and they just refused to follow him and to obey him. His patience. And so as he's going through, Joshua's going through, and he's conquering these cities, he comes up to one. There's a city called Gibeon that knows they're coming. They devise a scheme to trick Joshua, convince them that they're just travelers, they're not from around here. He falls for it. They make a covenant together, peace treaty in a way, covenant together. And then 3 days later, he finds out that they tricked him. But he's a man of his word. He's a man of integrity. And so he doesn't kill them, but he makes them woodcutters and water boys. And so that's where we pick up the story. And I only mention it because that context needs to be known as we go through the story here then. So he's made this covenant with the Gibeonites. Even though they have deceived him, he still continues to work with them. So I'm picking up the story now in Joshua chapter 10. Where we start off talking about a king of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, this is the first time we hear about Jerusalem. This is not Jerusalem the way you think of it. It's the same city, but it's way before it's with David or Jesus or anything like that. This is way back where the king of Jerusalem is an Adonai Zedek is his name. Now, Adonai Zedek, which means Lord of Justice or Lord our Righteousness, kind of ironic, huh? Lord our Justice, our Righteousness, King of Jerusalem, City of Peace. He heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies. He and his people were very much alarmed at this because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities, which means that it was probably walled. It had walls around it. It was well fortified. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were good fighters. So he's upset about the fact that instead of aligning with him and these other cities nearby, he's aligning with this new set of troops that's coming through, this whole nation that's working its way through their area. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon. There will not be a quiz. Don't worry about the names. Just know that this king of Jerusalem is appealing to the kings of Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon, all cities that are south, southwest of Jerusalem. He's trying to form an alliance of these cities that are nearby. So then those five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon, they joined forces. They moved up with all their troops, and they took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. And the Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua, and they did this because they've made this covenant. This is what you did. When you made a covenant, when you as the king, the leader of one set of people, made a covenant with another set of people, that leader, part of that covenant was that if somebody picks on you, they're picking on me. If somebody picks on me, they're picking on you. You work with each other to help make sure that the other is flourishing and surviving. So the Gibeonites, they sent word to Joshua, do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. Now, think about what Joshua's goal was. He was told to get rid of all of the Amorites. And he's been going through one city at a time. Now, all of a sudden, they're all coming together. He's only got one battle he has to fight now. They're all in one spot here, five of them together. The Lord said to Joshua, verse 7, so Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. So the battle, the victory is guaranteed, but it's not happened yet. He has to do something. It's not just they're just done and you don't have to go anywhere. He still has to march and still has to do his part. But he's got this guarantee from the Lord. Verse 9, after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. Now, just so you know, we don't know exactly where Gilgal is. It hasn't been identified, but it's obviously close enough that they can get there marching all night. I would say that probably means it's about 20 miles, 22 miles away. I know that I'm going by what I know from Civil War. I'll call it the Civil War. That the forced march, you know, they would get 20, 22 miles a day if they marched. I know, too, for myself, very first reenactment, the cannon hadn't, I was in an artillery unit and then got the privilege of commanding that artillery unit for a while. But our very first reenactment, when I first joined, the cannon wasn't in our group yet. We had to still go pick it up. So the first one we did was as infantry. Oh, I was only about 35. I can handle this. We're just going to walk around a field for a while, right? I wasn't going to let the group see me as this new guy, you know, just fall out, you know. So I kept marching, and I kept following the commander, and we had people kind of falling out. And by the time we were done, I think there were only about three of us left. And my puppies hurt. They were barking. I mean, it was, I was tired, my legs were sore, my feet hurt, but I made it through. I was not going to let the commander see that I was. So anyhow, it turns out a couple reenactments later, we were sitting around the campfire, and a commander told me that he only kept going because I kept going. If we had just talked to each other, we would have stopped and felt a whole lot better, a whole lot earlier. But all of that just to say, I know how tired these guys must have been. They marched all night, and it's harder at night too, obviously. There's not to take your steps in as much confidence when you don't see what's in front of you. So they marched all night. They take them by surprise. Verse 10, the Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So he's helping them out. He's joining the battle. He throws the opposition into confusion. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Bet Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makeda. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Bet Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones, literally it says stones from heaven, which we assume means hailstones. The Lord hurled large hailstones down on them. He's taking a more active part in the battle as well, still seeing him being part of this battle. And more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. Taking a very active part. And think about how you would know that the Lord is doing this. When you're battling, you're chasing that group of people, you're following them up and you're chasing them, running them down, but the hail is only hitting them. That's got to be something that gave them a lot of courage, a lot of motivation. And on verse 12, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, and this is where the story gets crazy. Well, I guess as if it's not already a little crazy, but Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, so in front of all his people, he makes this prayer, this bold, audacious prayer. Son, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. Now, anybody who heard that might have thought that some little kid was running by, you know. Son, stand still. But then he says, over Ajalon, and they look and they see he's looking up. Not looking down, he's looking up. He's talking to the sun. Stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. And based on where they are, It helps us to recognize, what would you like me to do?
We're going to change your mind.
Okay. The problem is not in your set. Please stay tuned. I'm sorry? Put it on my shirt so it's directly under me. It's certainly... Okay. All right. Now back to our regularly scheduled program. I'll try that and put that in there. Hopefully that doesn't... Oh, now my... I could just keep talking like this. That's fine. I don't mind. That's okay. Seriously, I mean, we're all good. So, as I said, he makes this in front of all the nation. He tells the sun, I mean, he makes this prayer, sun, stand still. and moon, and based on the fact that they know the sun comes up over Gibeon and goes down over this other valley, and the moon would come up, they know that what he's saying is everything's just going to stop. Time is going to stand still. That's what he's asking for. He's asking God to do that because he's running out of time. They're following God's command. They're following his will. They're doing what he told them to do, but they're not quite done yet. Have you ever had a day when you said, man, I just wish there were more hours in the day, you know, and this is one of those times he needed more hours in his day. And so he made this bold prayer. He's doing everything he can do. He can't control time, can't control the sun. So he asks for it to happen. And then verse 13 tells us that it did. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. It stayed where it was until the job was done, till the mission was complete. As it is written in the book of Jashar. Again, that's another thing that we don't know. That book didn't survive. Nobody's able to go to it. It's assumed that it's some sort of recording of a poetic sort of book about things that happened in the past, chronicling these victories. Because it appears that the way this is written, you see it sometimes. If you look in your Bible, it's offset a little bit. Just the way it was written in the book. So anyhow, it's written, it happened. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. About 24 hours, the sun just stayed up there. Now I know if you're from Alaska, you say that's no big deal. That happens all the time, every year for us. But this was not Alaska. This is a place where they could count on daylight and then night and daylight and darkness. And that day it didn't happen. Now, of course, there's a lot of critics who want to say that this story is not true. There's no way this story can be true. First of all, look at what they're saying. We know now that the sun doesn't move. We know that it's still anyway, and it's the earth that's moving. So just the fact that they used the wrong language is proof that it didn't happen. Well, come on, guys. We still listen to a meteorologist on the news every day that says the sun will rise at a certain time and the sun will set at a certain time. We just still talk as though the sun moves. This is our perspective. As far as we feel, we don't feel like we're moving. Anybody feel like you're moving right now? We just feel like we're still, but that the sun, everything else is moving. So that's their first point that they like to try to make. The second is if God really did stop the earth. Think about how if you're in, you go get some groceries, or you filled up the car. One of the kids is going back to college. You've got this car full of stuff, and it's loose back there. Especially if you got the groceries, and you're driving home, and maybe you're out on 22, and okay, maybe you go about 70, but then this deer jumps out, and you got to hit the brakes. Well, what happens to all those groceries? They all come flying, right? And that's what critics will say. They claim that, well, if God stopped the earth, then think about all the things that would go flying, all the tidal waves we'd have and so forth. And come on, guys. God made the earth. He can control it. He can do whatever he wants with it. He would take care of flying trees and tidal waves and so forth. What this comes down to is whether you believe Genesis 1. If you believe that God spoke the world into existence, I mean, that's a crazy story. I could be using that one. But if you can believe that, not just like to believe that it happened, but you actually believe that it happened, then you can believe stories like this. If that's a problem for you, then a story like this becomes a problem for you too. And you're not sure, and maybe they didn't speak it right, maybe they didn't really interpret what was happening that day. But if you believe, then you can believe this. Now, the other thing against these critics is that there are documented stories in other civilizations. The Chinese have record of a day that was twice as long as usual. The Egyptians have writings about a day that was longer than normal. And then if you go to the other side of the world, the Aztecs actually have writings about a night that was longer than usual. So this isn't just a unique story sitting here in the Bible that can challenge our faith. Again, all you have to do is go back to Genesis 1, and if you can believe that, then you should have no problem believing this. But let's finish the story here. Verse 14, there has never been a day like it before or since. Now, he's not saying that the day was unusual because of the sun standing still. He's saying it's an unusual day because it was a day when the Lord listened to a human being. And that word listened can almost be translated obey. It's not obey. He didn't obey, but he listened and responded to a human being. Joshua made this command, if you will, sun stand still. And God heard him and responded and did what he asked. And it says, surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. He was obviously very involved in the battle. He was helping to make the fight as well. That's what we have to remember. This isn't just for Israel. God fights for his church. God fights for his people. He fights for his family, for his children, for you. If God can speak the world into existence, if God can part the Red Sea for Moses, if he can make a donkey talk for Balaam, like we heard last week, if he can close the mouths of hungry lions for Daniel, and if God can hold the sun in the sky for an extra 24 hours for Joshua, then God can do whatever you need him to do for you. Now, I'm not saying that he will always answer your prayer with a yes exactly the way you're asking, but I'm saying he can. He is able to. We know that this life is a battle. We know that we're battling against spiritual things, but also it's sometimes a physical battle for us. As we get older, we know it gets tougher. But we have to continue to fight. If you remember the seven letters in Revelation to the churches, they all end with that same phrase, to the one who is victorious. There's something that needs to be done. There's fighting that needs to be done, battling that needs to be done. And God joins the battle with us. But here's my question. Could it be proved by the prayers that you pray? Do your prayers prove that God joins the battle with us? Here's what I'm saying. Think about your prayers. Could your prayers be answered by a doctor? Father, could you get me through this sickness and cure this cold that I have? Well, a doctor can do that. Father, would you please take away my anxiety? Maybe you could get a therapist to help you out with that. Would you restore my relationship with my wife? Well, there's counselors that can do that. God, would you give me this new job? Well, there's job recruiters. Now, God's involved in all those things. But what I'm saying is, you're kind of minimizing his ability. Go for it. Don't be afraid to ask God for things that would sound crazy to anybody else. Look at what Joshua did. He's standing out in front of all of his people, and he's saying, "Sun, stand still." How crazy do you think that sounded to all those people? Be bold. Be audacious. But of course, first of all, make sure that your heart is pure. As we talked about last week, make sure that you're lining up with God, not trying to line him up with you. Make sure you're lined up with him and his will. Use the psalm that says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If you have a pure heart, pure motives, then there's no reason why you can't, I don't know, ask for, "God, triple my income. Not because I want to buy a boat and an RV and whatever else, but because I want to, I feel like you want me to start this ministry. You want me to do this or that to help these people. And if I if I'm going to do that, I need more. I'm going to need some resources. So God, would you triple my income? If that's lining up with His will, He's going to do it. As long as your motives are correct. So here's the question I have for you, the way to wrap this up. If God answered all of your prayers from this year so far, think about your prayer life. And if God had answered all your prayers just the way you had asked for them, if He said yes to everything you asked for, how would the world be impacted? Would homelessness in Palmyra be a thing of the past? Would LCCM need to find a new purpose because there's nobody hungry anymore? Would Jubilee Ministries have to start donating to other charities because there's nobody in prison? Pray for big things and mean it. Have a pure heart when you do it, but don't be afraid to pray for big things. God's fighting for us. He's helped us in the past, and He wants to fight for us for years to come. I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing our final hymn that follows this same idea. As you're singing it, think about how God has helped you, how God has fought for you, and how God continues to fight for you in the future. As you leave here and you step out into that mission field, the world, may you go with the confidence knowing that God is fighting with you and for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.